You're listening to 2A Radio with Bill Carnes.
Yeah, isn't that like a sharp, pointy stick to the eye first thing in the morning? Guys, I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. Welcome to the show, everybody. Little bit of information about 2A Radio and your host, yours truly, Bill Carnes. I have been in the shooting sports since 1989, which is relatively short if you actually think about it, 21 years at this point. I got my first rifle when I was 19 years old. I was 18 years old when I got my first rifle. I still own it today, Ruger 10/22. I got my first handgun at 19 years old, and there was really no turning back after that. I took my first formal firearms training course for my 25th birthday, and I went to Gunsight in Paulden, Arizona, and I finished top of my class in the handgun 250. I was the only one to shoot a perfect score on test day. It's 5.5 days. It's Monday through Friday, full days, and then a half day Saturday. I don't know if that's still the format. That's the only class I've actually taken at Gunsight. However, I have been on the property other than that. And what a fantastic experience that was. From there, I went on to be a police officer for Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department. I've been an NRA certified instructor for a long time, which doesn't really say much. The NRA certification is more of a piece of paper, not really an ability. I moved on to be the lead rangemaster at Front Sight, where I became one of only two guys that have ever worked there as a recognized and qualified five weapons defensive rangemaster. That's where I am qualified to rangemaster the weapon systems, handgun, shotgun, rifle, submachine gun, and precision long range sniper, counter sniper type rifle from basic into and through the advanced level. So there's a little bit of qualifications and information on me. You can always find out more at BillCarnes.com, C-A-R-N-S. There is no E in the last name. So BillCarnes.com, you can find more information on me. When it comes to the show, you can always go to 2A Radio. 2A stands for Second Amendment. The official name of the show is the Second Amendment Radio Show. We just shortened that down to 2A Radio. So you can go to 2aradio.com. Plenty of stuff on there, including all of the archives. At the end of each day, the show goes up within about 30 minutes or so, including show descriptions. Every single show since its inception back of March of 2009 is up. Now, what do we discuss here on 2A Radio? Well, the foundation is all Second Amendment related. However, that's not the only thing we speak of. We also speak about First Amendment rights and basically any rights that are out there. And usually we bring them up when some government jackass or some government entity decides to want to consider or just simply does subvert some sort of right from you, me, or anybody else out there. We talk about police and more specifically police abuses from having worked in the policing industry as a patrol officer for Las Vegas Metro. I have firsthand experience in good cops and bad cops and what they do. I speak quite often about guns, gear, tactics, techniques. If you have any questions about guns, gears, tactics, techniques, rights, anything like that, you can always email me. And my email address is bill@2aradio.com. So feel free to send me any sort of comments, questions, suggestions, whatever you like. Oftentimes, say hunting season is coming for big game. You want to sight in your rifle, get some information going on about guns, gear, bullet selection, how to sight in, where to sight in, cleaning procedures, whatever that might be. Send those things in to me, bill@2aradio.com, and I will either answer you directly or, if it's good enough and I feel that the audience would probably benefit in hearing the answer, I'll hold off and I will add it right here onto the radio show. So there's a little bit of format and formula for you when it comes to 2A Radio, yours truly as the host, and really what to expect for this next hour. Stay tuned, guys. There is plenty more to come, and you are tuned in live right here with me, Bill Carnes, hosting 2A Radio.
It's not an option. It's a right. Cocked, locked, and ready to rock the world of the anti-gunners. You are listening to the guy who had to register his mouth as a full auto weapon. Bill Carnes and Two-Way Radio. The fight for your rights isn't for pansies. So buckle up for the ride and knuckle down with Bill Carnes and 2A Radio.
Now, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know this information I'm about to say. If not, you might be interested to know that 48 out of the 50 states, not 57 as Obama would have you believe, 50 states, 48 of the 50 allow some form, I shouldn't say allow, they have available some form of concealed carry available in that state. Now, 36 or 37 states, I think it is, actually have what is called a shall issue system, which means unless there is a compelling reason to have you not carry a gun concealed, you can get a concealed weapons permit or go through the constitutional carries it's referred to, Alaska, Vermont, Arizona, where you don't have to get a permit. The other states, you just apply for the permit and get it, unless something comes up in your background that keeps you from being able to carry a gun concealed, such as a felony conviction, a domestic violence conviction, a history of drug or alcohol abuse, a history of mental illness. Those are the things that will keep you from being able to get a gun. Otherwise, they shall issue you a permit. The other roughly 12 states have a may issue, mother may I, such as California or New York, where you apply and you come up with some form of reason that you should be carrying a gun. And it's up to the local police department or sheriff's department, whoever you are applying to in said state based on their system, that they decide whether or not you're going to be allowed to carry a gun. California is that way, and California is all over the map. There are some sheriffs that will approve just about anybody who applies and others who will approve nobody if they apply. That's just the way it is. So it's all over the map. The two states that do not allow any provision for concealed carry are Wisconsin and Illinois. Wisconsin, however, is an open carry state. You can carry open there. It's been that way for a long time. And a lot of people don't know it because just recently, a Wisconsin Open Carry, it is an organization called Wisconsin Carry, they actually have had a lot of people going out there and carrying open around the state. So a lot of people think that it's new. In fact, it's not. Illinois is the only state in the entire union where there is no carrying openly or concealed, period. There's no carrying. And your rights are completely subverted there. Unconstitutionally, might I add. And all of those are now up for legal action. Well, Wisconsin Carry is now in the process. It's an organization called Wisconsin Carry. They're in the process of fast-tracking a lawsuit against the Madison, Wisconsin Police Department. What happened was on Saturday, September 18th, about 10 days ago now, Wisconsin Carry received a hotline call about an incident that was in progress at a Culver's restaurant in Madison, Wisconsin. Culver's is the name of a restaurant, like, you know, Applebee's or something like that, but Culver's restaurant in Madison. Five men, members of Wisconsin's Open Carry, planned to get together for dinner at Culver's restaurant near East Town in Madison, Wisconsin. They were, of course, open carrying as they do every day. It wasn't just a planned event. This is the way these guys are. Based on information gathered over the past few days, here's the facts of the case. The men had finished dinner and were outside preparing to leave when eight Madison officers arrived and began to demand ID. Officers told the men that if they did not produce ID, they'd be arrested. Two of the five declined to provide ID. Wisconsin law does not allow officers to demand ID from individuals who have done nothing wrong. Wisconsin law also does not allow officers to arrest an individual who has done nothing wrong for merely refusing to show ID. Now, those two who refused to show ID were subsequently cited and charged with obstructing. It was later learned that a 62-year-old woman in the restaurant had called 911 and inquired as to whether it was legal for people to open carry firearms. The caller indicated there was no disturbance, but she was worried. Madison police responded, not by informing the caller that open carry is legal, but rather sending 8 officers to respond to a peaceful situation. It's a person's choice whether or not they wish to provide the police their ID when they've done nothing wrong. But knowing the motivation of officers who are aggressively demanding ID and threatening arrests, it's understandable why a person who has done nothing wrong would want to maintain their privacy. It's imperative that police follow the law. Police are not allowed to arrest you for merely failing to provide ID. If the police can operate outside of law, it does us no good to vote and elect legislators who represent us and pass laws if the police will make up and enforce whatever they feel like enforcing. Now, Wisconsin carry fully expected that this last Monday, those with an education in law would return to their office from the weekend and promptly recognize the error made by the officers on the scene. Madison police did recognize their error and rescinded the citations for obstructing that were issued to the 2 members of Wisconsin carry who did not provide ID. Madison police admitted in a press release those tickets were given an error. Madison police then issued disorderly conduct citations to all 5 men. According to police, if one person is worried, even though there's no disturbance, your constitutional rights must mean nothing. Wisconsin Attorney General clearly stated in a memo, April of 2009, that open carry is not disorderly conduct. Madison police then continued to their disregard for Wisconsin residents' constitutional rights by issuing a statement indicating that Madison police will, quote, approach anyone who is open carrying using the proper tactical response. The individual should be contacted, controlled, and frisked for weapons if appropriate. Officers should separate the suspect from any weapons on his or her possession during the encounter. As such, Wisconsin Carry is in the process of fast-tracking a federal lawsuit against Madison Police for their policy, which is a blatant and defenseless violation of the rights of law-abiding citizens who are doing nothing wrong. Wisconsin Carry will also, if needed, retain an attorney to challenge the disorderly conduct citations issued to those cited. Wisconsin Carry feels that there is a fundamental issue and a situation which has implications for every resident in the state of Wisconsin. Police departments all over Wisconsin have received the Attorney General's memo and responded accordingly, training officers in the appropriate and lawful response to a law-abiding citizen open carrying. Madison police must be held to the same standard. Wisconsin law applies to everyone in the state, not just those outside of Madison. It is imperative that the Madison police follow the law. Very soon, everybody in Wisconsin, they expect to have the ability to legally conceal and have concealed carry in Wisconsin. If police do not respect the legal right to open carry that Wisconsin residents already have, they can now expect them to respect the right to concealed carry when that law passes. The incident has received a huge amount of attention from the media. It's possible it may even garner national attention in the near future. This is all from Wisconsin Carry Incorporated. Now, we are going to be up in a break in about 2.5-3 minutes. I have a 4-minute 911 call, the 911 call that came in dealing with these guys being seen at this restaurant. Now, it's actually about a 6-minute call, and I edited out some of the silences and some of the stupidity in there, and a lady that had no idea what her phone number was, had no idea what her license plate number was, and just some ums and does. So anyhow, I edited it down to 4 minutes so you can actually get the gist of what was really going on. We'll play that in the next segment so you can hear what happened, and then you'll realize this response that the Madison Police Department had. Now, we had a situation a little over a year ago where the police chief of Milwaukee said what they will do if he said he's informed his troops. He used the term troops, not his peace officers, but his troops, like they're stormtroopers or something. The Milwaukee police chief said that he had informed his troops that if they come across anybody open carrying, they're to take them down at gunpoint, prone them out, hook them up. So that means, you know, lay down on the ground, whatever you're wearing, be it gym shorts and a t-shirt or your finest Armani suit. Lay down on the pavement. We're going to prone you out, handcuff you at gunpoint with multiple officers, take your gun off of you, and then decide whether or not you have the right to carry. So what's happening is now he's put this into the decision of a police officer to decide what someone's rights are. That is not the way it works. I have a copy of the Constitution right here. Everybody hear that? Thumbing through the pages of the copy of the Constitution of the United States. Nothing in here ever mentions police because they didn't exist in the United States at the signing of this document. As a matter of fact, it was decades later the first police were ever put out there on the streets. And it certainly doesn't say that anybody in the government has the right to decide if you have rights. It's not up to an individual. God gave them to you. Your creator gave them to you at birth. Stay tuned, guys. More to come. We're going to hear this 911 tape as soon as we come back from the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes. You're tuned in live right here to 2A Radio. RoninTactical.com has certified concealed carry training specialists that travel to you and your group of self-protection advocates. Organize a group of friends, family, or co-workers who take their responsibility of self-protection seriously, and RoninTactical.com will send out a certified training specialist who will provide a course of instruction that will get you and your group certified to carry concealed in over 30 states while providing you, the organizer, a commission for organizing the event. Do you travel for work, family, or vacation and want to remain armed and safe when traveling? Contact RoninTactical.com for details on staying home and having one of our certified professionals travel to you to provide the training and credentials for you and your group to safely and legally carry concealed in over 30 states. Call 888-416-4809 or go online to RoninTactical.com.
Tell everyone in the room to pipe down. 2A Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
All right, folks, I'm going to play for you now this 911 tape from this Madison, Wisconsin incident. So you can see how innocent it was, how everything was handled before they got off the phone, but yet they dispatched cops anyhow. Listen to this.
I don't know if it's an emergency, but I'm out at Culver's at Easttown.
Yeah.
And I see that there are two men, one's in a black T-shirt, I can't see the writing on it, and another man in a T-shirt with a long gray beard. They both have sidearms on, fully exposed what appear to be guns.
And they're inside the Culver's?
No, they're sitting outside at a picnic table.
Okay. At Culver's Easttown.
Yes.
Correct. And what's the phone number where you can be reached?
I'm on my cell phone. What is my cell phone number? 279.
Okay, that's okay. Can I get your name, please?
Yeah, it's Phyllis K.E. I didn't know if maybe you had people out here, but it seemed really strange to me.
I don't know. Right now they're sitting at a picnic table.
Yeah, can you see them still, Marty? Pull ahead so we can see them.
And did you say the guns are in holsters?
Yeah, on their right side. They've pull ahead. They look like semi-automatic. Yeah, they're still there. Yeah, the one man has blue jeans on and a gray T-shirt and a long beard, kind of gray in color, and the other man has short hair and a black T-shirt, and I don't know what's on the back. Something on the back, it's like a white shape of the state of Wisconsin, but I can't read the writing on it. I really don't want to get any close. They're in the parking lot side of Culver's, and they're sitting at a picnic table on the parking lot side, on the back side.
They seem to be threatening or talking, or they?
No, they're just talking. They seem extremely relaxed. We couldn't believe it. They were leaning up against the vehicle with these sidearms prominently displayed. They're not under their T-shirts. They're just right out in plain sight. And I thought if they were police officers, it just didn't look like police officers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Great. So one had gray beard, gray T-shirt, and jeans, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The other black T-shirt with the outline of the state of Wisconsin and jeans also?
I think so.
Oh. All right. Will you be available if we need you by phone?
Yeah, we're actually just outside the parking lot.
You're safe right where you are?
Yeah, we are, but the place mm-hmm. is full of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the strangest thing I've seen. So I just wanted to let you know in case it wasn't right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, not threatening anyone is really what we're concerned about right
now. No, they're just sitting there extremely relaxed.
I do believe now that it is, just for your information, been passed by the state attorney general, that it is legal to be armed in Wisconsin if you're not threatening or someone's not disturbed by by your weapon.
I didn't know that. So anybody can wear a sidearm in plain sight like that?
Yeah, it's actually concealed is the issue now, but plain sight has now recently been passed by the attorney general.
All right, that's news to us.
Yeah.
So apparently there's no problem, and it's not an emergency.
If you're concerned or disturbed by the weapon, then it becomes a problem.
No, they weren't threatening anybody, and they weren't mm-hmm. acting threatening. It was the fact that it just came as a shock to us. Yeah, all right. Well, thank you.
Sure, not a problem. We are sending police officers over to check them now.
I feel bad then because if they're not doing anything wrong, then it's my mistake.
You know what, ma'am? That's the kind of thing where you just don't know if they're going to do anything wrong or not. And being armed in the city of Madison is just not a, usual thing. So it's quite all right. We're perfectly happy that you called.
And do you need us to stay around here, or is it all right for us to leave then?
If you'll be available by phone, that'll
sure.
be best. Then I'll let you go. And
if they need to reach us, we should be home within about 10 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Okay, so you just heard it with your own ears, that 911 call, where the woman at first was concerned, and she even said she was worried. Later, once she learned that no law had been broken, she rescinded that being worried and said, no, I'm sorry, my mistake. They're doing that, my mistake. She rescinded her reason for calling. They still sent the cops. So now they have no one who's a victim, even if they're calling it disturbing the peace, which the Attorney General's office, the chief law enforcement and law interpreter officer of the court in the entire state. Nobody gets higher in the state for state matters than the Attorney General. And the Attorney General says it is not disturbing the peace. Yet, they cited all of them for disturbing the peace. You can't do that. Well, you can do it. You can't get away with that. Right? So, when listening to this 911 call, it is 100% clear that the police knew these five citizens were not violating any laws. You listen to the 911 tape yourself. No threat. No panic. 911 dispatcher even said it is legal. No one threatened. And the woman who was originally worried, oh, hey, no, it's cool. I'm good. I'm not worried anymore. Well, we're still going to send out cops. Yeah, so even though she rescinded it, this unfortunately did not prevent Madison Police Department from overreacting by sending out 8 officers. Now, there were 5 guys, but as far as I knew, there were 2. So one cop to one person? No, it was 4-1 is what they expected to have. They actually probably felt outnumbered when it was 8-5. Well, very interesting. And everybody in Wisconsin should start packing every single day and overwhelm the Madison Department. They won't be able to do their jobs anymore. The police chief will get fired. They will get all of the people on the police department retrained so that they can actually handle real calls for action. Everybody in Madison should pack, starting right now. We'll be right back.
You're listening to a guy who packs a gun to shoot the bad guys and packs a mic to shoot his mouth off. Bill Carnes and 2A Radio are back.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We are expecting Jim Dunsing to be calling in any moment for an update on the Eric Scott case. So I'm just waiting to hear from the studio that he is on the line. Just to give you a bit of an update when it comes to the news feeds, there was an officer that he was a detective, and he testified that Eric Scott had access to illegal prescription drugs. Okay, now, illegally prescribed drugs. He had access. Doesn't mean he was on them. Doesn't mean they were in his system. Doesn't mean he ever took them. Just that he had access to illegally prescribed drugs. This is what they said. Now, pretty much since the start of the inquest last week, Scott's prescription drug use has come up on a regular basis. Almost all of the first day was centered on that. Metro Detective Pete Carlos said that Scott's high number of prescriptions led him to Dr. Pierce. It seems like Pierce was just prescribing on a will call basis when Scott went into the office, Carlos testified. Dr. Pierce has said he does not know Eric Scott. He has never treated him professionally or was a patient of his. Now we have is some random doctor and this guy that was killed by Metro, and they're trying to somehow put him together. So this is how it worked out. As the police dug deeper, they learned that Scott's girlfriend, Samantha Sterner, was once employed by Dr. Pierce. Okay. So now they're trying to draw a conclusion they have no evidence to, that Pierce somehow maybe prescribed drugs to Eric Scott, having never met him. He says, I think the evidence shows that despite what medications were prescribed to Eric, nobody says that he was acting in a threatening manner, says family attorney Ross Goodman. Now, while Carlos was on the witness stand, he also showed the court two guns Scott had on him, allegedly, when he was shot to death by the police on July 10th. One that was in its holster, which is the Kimber we talked about, and is disputed among witnesses whether or not he pointed it at the police. And another was allegedly found on his body in the ambulance. Now, it says Scott had a permit to carry the handgun that fell on the ground, but then this news report says, but it is unknown whether he had a permit to carry the second gun. Now, we don't even know there was a second gun. A permit to carry the second gun. You get a concealed weapons permit, you carry a gun. I mean, come on. In Nevada, the way that it works is if you carry a revolver, if you qualify with one revolver, you can carry any revolver. But for any semi-auto that you carry, you have to qualify with that semi-auto. And it's funny. It's really stupid. We're trying to get this change at the state level. We're actually trying to go to constitutional carry in the state in the next legislative session. If not, we are at least hoping to get you have to qualify with all the different semi-autos out of there. Like, for instance, I own 5 or 6 different Glocks. They all run the same. But whichever one I want to carry, because they're all different models, I have a 17, a 22, a 23, a 20, and a 30. Okay, so I have 5 different Glocks. Yeah, 17, 20, 22, 23, and 30. Those are the models I've got. They all work exactly the same. But since they're all different models, and they will shoot different calibers, I would have to qualify with each and every one of them separately for Nevada CCW, according to the way the law is written now. Stupid. If you carry a 1911, although all 1911s operate the same, if you have one that has a 4-inch barrel and another with a 5-inch barrel, you have to qualify with them separately. If one shoots a .45, the other one shoots, say, a 10mm, you've got a Delta Elite. Maybe you've got a .40 caliber Kimber. Maybe you've got a 9mm Wilson. You'd have to qualify with all of them separately. How stupid is that? Anyhow, that's what we know at this point in time. I have to ask my engineer at RBN if we have Jim on the line. Just shoot me a message and let me know. Jim just sent me a text message during the last break that said he'd be calling in as of about 8 minutes ago. But who knows? Maybe he stopped by Costco to get something and he's got guns drawn on him right now. We just don't know. So anyhow, it's been a total character assassination. This coroner's inquest is officially an unofficial deal. I mean, it's an official deal, but it holds no legal bindings. It's supposed to be done by the coroner itself. But rather than the coroner himself actually conducting this, they just kind of sponsor the event, and the district attorney's office is the one actually in there asking all the questions. And I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, you there?
Morning, Bill, yes.
Good morning, man. How the heck are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I heard
the first part of your show this morning, or the first part of this segment where you're talking about the trial here.
Good, good. Well, give us some firsthand account. You were there yet again yesterday. Tell us how things went.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't there for the most important testimony. The fellow you talked about earlier, I watched most of his testimony on TV. What we finally did get to learn from that testimony was that had the gun been pointed at the car, it couldn't have been fired simply by pressing the trigger. Even if Eric had, Hulk Hogan type strength and could press the trigger through that holster somehow, it still wouldn't have fired a round.
Very interesting.
I mean, the only people I think have actually seen a gun pointed at the officer was the officer who fired himself and a couple of Costco employees like Liar Lee and I don't remember if the first one saw a gun or an object moving towards the officer. But
what an appropriate name for that guy, Liar Lee.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly how it sounds in my book.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, so what else happened other than that particular officer testifying that he maybe possibly could have had access to illegally prescribed drugs, maybe kind of sort of because there is this really weird inference thing that we kind of maybe looked at, sort of uncovered, but we don't know that any of this happened. We're just saying it's possible. It's probably possible he was born with a kangaroo's tail as well, but they just don't know.
They've had a bunch of eyewitnesses come out and testify over the course of the last several days. And yesterday they had an interesting pair. They testified back to back. One was a Costco employee. And he told the police initially that he never saw Eric with a gun. And then 3 days later, he meets with Costco attorneys. And then when he gives another statement to the police, it's different. He sees a gun now.
Now, we should line up those attorneys.
Here's the full point. The prosecutor didn't attack him on that change. He just kind of went along with his stated reason of, well, I've thought about it over and over in my head more, and I remembered it differently.
Oh, wow.
Still not a good memory. But then you've got a guy come on who was 20-plus years as an attorney, a criminal attorney, and he saw it and walked towards the event and purposefully looked for evidence and was the only person standing around the body except for Samantha immediately after the shooting. Everyone else cleared out of there. And he testified that he specifically looked on the ground for a gun and saw nothing. He saw no object on the ground.
Now, I had heard about this guy. As a matter of fact, there's a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, a guy that you know, that we used to work with together. And he has a close personal friend who's an attorney, who is a close personal friend of this particular attorney who testified yesterday, who had said the same thing to the attorney that is the friend of our friend, blah, blah, blah. Long story. Anyhow, I had heard this about 72 hours, 3 days after the shooting. I had heard about this guy and his testimony that he walked towards the place and he never saw a thing. He just saw cops assassinating a guy that had Costco employees having been pointing him out, like, this guy here. And then they raised their gun and started shooting at him when he was raising his arms. And so it's interesting that they actually had him even testify. And it's also interesting the Costco employee that you said initially said, I never saw a gun. Then he met with Costco attorneys, who should now all be drawn and quartered if they instilled into his mind maybe he did see a gun. Because you know as well as I do, Jim, I mean, you've been an attorney for a while. You went to law school some time ago. You know that when people are sitting there and they are in some sort of a situation where someone of authority in their mind is telling them what it is they needed to see or coaxing them into a thought, they can literally chemically recreate their own thoughts and patterns and instill it into their memory to where, yeah, in fact, that really did happen. As if it's some sort of it's some form of a brainwashing. And they have proven this and disproven testimony based on the same thing in courts of law thousands and thousands of times over the last couple of decades, where if someone says, you know, they initially saw something that was advantageous for the police, and then they changed their mind later so the cops didn't have water to, or any ground to stand on, a leg to stand on, pardon me for that, that they later disproved their testimony by saying, well, they originally said this, then they said this, this is the course of events that happened between them changing their minds, we want to discount their entire testimony. But if they certainly didn't do this to the Costco employee, because when he changes testimony, it helps out the cops.
Right, but he did, the prosecutor did go after the defense attorney for changing his testimony, and from my perspective, it wasn't really a change in testimony, it was a change in understanding, or not a change, a difference of expression. From the direction Eric was walking out of the store initially, was he walking straight or was he walking slightly towards the left? That part of his testimony is the part that possibly changed, and the prosecutor went after him for that, to attack his credibility.
Oh, because when, of an
at the
angle.
Same, at the same Yeah, at the same time, the guy you mentioned testified that the first statement he made to the police, he was very explicit. I want to make a statement. I want it recorded, because he had seen things in his experience go missing, right? So he says, I want to make a statement, and I want it recorded. That statement, as soon as he's done with, the officer says, I'm sorry, sir, my recorder wasn't working. We'll have to do that again.
Interesting. Okay, but so and they're okay with all of those changes and all of those issues. But they're not okay with this attorney that is changing, you know, 5 or 10 degrees of angle of direction of travel with a guy who's on foot.
Correct.
All they're doing is they're doing the sideshow, man. They're just a bunch of puppets up there, and they're just doing their best to exonerate the cops who shot Eric Scott. Any idea how long this inquest is going to go? They originally budgeted for 5 days. There have now been 4 days. There was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or was it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Monday? So 4 or 5 days so far.
It was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and now Monday, and it'll be Tuesday. And there was a briefing yesterday morning that the coroner gave in the hallway and told the family and everyone there that right now it's believed that it's going to go Tuesday, and they're willing to go late, which means past 6 o'clock on Wednesday and Thursday. And if it goes past there, the judge is taking a one-week vacation or some length of vacation at that point, and they'll continue it after that.
Wait a minute. So the entire...
They were about halfway through the witness list.
So the entire investigative process is going to be put on hold because one man is going on vacation?
That's how we were briefed yesterday morning.
Wow. I think that that shows extremely poor judgment. The judge himself either needs to not go on vacation, or since he is just kind of sitting around being a jackass, they need to find a different jackass to sit in there and be around. As a matter of fact, you should offer to sit in while he's gone.
Yeah, that would probably go over well.
Well, you should make the offer, man. I mean, you expect him to say no. I mean...
They have the problem is I would have asked the one guy who testified yesterday why he was able to take the cell phone from the scene without it being marked where it had fallen.
I don't know why that would be a problem if you asked that question. It seems to me that it would be you know, prudent to ask that question. This is
yeah,
just incredible. Now that
for the audience that isn't fully aware of all this, the theory that we're operating under is that Eric either had nothing in his hands or had a cell phone in his hand, because he was one of those people who was constantly talking on the cell phone and texting and working. He had a cell phone in his hands. He was shot. Everybody says whatever he had in his hands, he immediately dropped it after that first shot. Then the other shots from the other officers took place and whatnot. But the theory we're operating under is that the cell phone became this Kimber, which... again, couldn't have been fired and was found in a holster. And then the video went missing. And it all fits together quite well. And then to hear that the cell phone was there, but this particular detective broke procedure and removed it himself, I don't know, that raises even more questions.
That's called contaminating evidence.
That is
called contaminating evidence through a crime scene. And we saw what happened... what happens with that when you get team of guys investigating O.J. Simpson for a double homicide. If you contaminate evidence or contaminate a crime scene or disturb a crime scene, even if you're a professional investigator, without doing something by procedure, that throws all kinds of questions into the entire investigative process. So it sounds like this guy didn't learn anything from that, or it's just all part of the cover-up that they're investigating themselves. That's why I've said for many, many, many years, cops should not be investigating cops. They just can't do it right. Anyhow. Jim, I appreciate you calling in, man.
Hey, my pleasure. I'll call in and recap today's events tomorrow.
Great. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Everybody, if you have
can I make one announcement, Bill?
You got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Tonight in Pahrump, the town board is going to consider allowing the residents of Pahrump to vote on paper ballots in the upcoming November election. That's at the Bob Rood Center at 1900.
Oh, okay. So any of the locals here in the little town I'm broadcasting in, which is good. That should be one that I should be going to. Thanks again, Jim. Guys, stay tuned. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. If you live in a state which allows Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories, and you either have an interest in or already own Class 3 NFA items, the process for an individual to own these items includes photographs, fingerprints, obtaining a letter of permission from your police chief or sheriff, and a full personal background check which is spread across the whole federal system. Until now. Forming an NFA trust eliminates the requirements of letters of permission and all personal data and background checks in purchasing and possessing NFA firearms and accessories. NFA trusts offer a level of anonymity as well as flexibility in the purchasing, possessing, and storage of your Class 3 NFA firearms and accessories. To learn more about forming a secure and flexible NFA trust at a fraction of the cost from attorneys, visit www.billcarnes.com and click on the NFA tab. That's BILLCARNS.com and click on the NFA tab.
As long as politicians attack our rights, Bill will be fighting for them. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is back.
Back on!
All right, guys, I just want to let you know, when I was a cop for Las Vegas Metro. And I have to tell you that the experience with Las Vegas Metro tells me one thing, and one main thing, and that is this, that they are out to look out for their own. Now, a cop just 11 months ago shot Jim Dunsing, the guy that was just reporting. Every morning he's calling in and reporting on what's going on here in the Eric Scott inquest. Shot Jim Dunsing for running away. They pulled him over for doing some illegal, I think he went straight through an intersection in a right turn only lane. Pulled him over. Found out he had a couple of unpaid traffic citations. One unpaid traffic citation, I believe. So the cop pulls him out. He's a motorcycle cop. He's going to pull him out, hook him up, wait for the city marshals to pick him up, who's nothing but a transport group and, I guess, park police for the city. And so he starts telling Jim, get out of the car, turn around, put your hands behind your back, put your hands on the car, whatever it was. And so Jim tells him, hold on, I want to talk about this for a second. The cop tells him, no, we're not going to talk. Turn around. Do what I say. He goes, I want to talk about this. So the cop pulls out his taser and said, if you don't turn around, I'm going to tase you. Jim, in kind of a wise-ass manner, says, you're not going to tase me. The cop counts from 3 to 1 and tases Jim. Jim, who was born premature and has heart conditions, knew that this could kill him. So he starts to run away as he rips the taser out of his chest and starts running away from this cop. This cop pulls out his gun and shoots Jim 3 times. Later, they find a gun in Jim's buttoned cargo pocket of his BDU pants that he was wearing. He's carrying a 1911 in a holster in a pocket which was buttoned. The cop later finds it. In fact, it wasn't even him who found it. It was the other cop that he was running towards because the traffic cops were working in a team. Of course, the initial cop says, oh, this is great. He has a gun. I can lie and say that he had a gun. Somehow he was pulling the gun out. I pulled mine and shot him. As if action versus reaction that would happen. Somehow, magically, the gun fell back into the holster, back into the pocket, and rebuttoned itself as Jim was falling to the ground. Metro looks out for their own. I tried to do a citizen's arrest on an on-duty Metro officer via a citation. I wasn't able to get directly to him. This just last December. Of course, I got completely stonewalled by the department and by internal affairs. They said, oh, we can't find out who was driving that car. Well, you know what? I used to be on this department. I can tell you at least three ways that I can guarantee I could find out who was driving that car. Have you done any of them? Well, we've looked into it. We can't seem to find who it was. Totally stonewalling. Just the way this department is. They need to be brought down and brought down hard, and Eric Scott should be the martyr doing it. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule.
Thanks for tuning in. Bill will be back tomorrow. Now go side in and shoot straight. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. Learn more about Bill at BillCarnes.com. Send your comments to Bill at 2aradio.com. I will not.